What about the stuff we willingly give away every time we sign one of those long user agreements on everything from Facebook to iTunes? Does anyone really read those things, and what are we agreeing to when we click accept? Professor Nancy Kim of California Western School of Law wrote about these contracts in her new book, Wrap Contracts. She joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, why do we always say yes to these things?
Well, I think realistically, we don't really have a choice. Because these wrap contracts are on all websites, if we don't agree to the terms, and because the terms are very similar on all the websites, if you don't click accept, you basically have to opt out of the internet.
Fully.
Well, it looks that way. I have yet to find a major social network that would allow me to join without agreeing to their very lengthy and onerous terms of use. You're left out of a lot of things if you're not. So it's a decision that you have to make, but it's not without consequences.
Okay, so maybe there's a listener of ours who's saying, okay, yeah, I know those contracts are bad, but whatever, I'm fine with it. I click yes on it. I know what I'm signing away. What would you tell them? What are the things that are really egregious in some of the contracts that you've seen?
There are three different types of terms. The first are the terms that just sort of lay out in maybe too much legalese what the rights of the company is and what you're expected to do or not to do. Codes of conduct, for example. You know you're not supposed to harass other users. And generally, even if we haven't read the terms, we're okay with those terms. We know we're not supposed to send spam to users of a website or harass or intimidate other people, right, on a social networking site, for example. There are other terms that try to make law where there are legal gaps. The technology is moving faster than the law, than the legislatures and the courts are able to address some of these issues. And so companies try to come up with terms that favor them in these areas where there is no law, where there are legal gaps. And privacy, for example, is an area where if they come up with terms of use, they can sort of set the boundaries of acceptable conduct themselves, which you then supposedly agreed to. Now, the third type of term might surprise even the most sort of pro-contract listener. And these are terms that reallocate rights that the consumer doesn't expect. So, for example, most of the time when you buy something from a website, if you're unhappy with the customer service, you would expect that you would be able to complain about it to your friends, right, on social media. Well, some websites actually have a provision referred to as a non-disparagement clause that says that, in fact, you're not allowed to complain about the web your interaction with the website. And some of these clauses even say that if you do, you are subject to a fee. The real danger with these terms of use is that most consumers aren't going to want to go to court to fight it. They'll behave the way that the terms of use tells them they should behave.
Well, it's simply more convenient not to fight these companies in court and to just use the product the way that they're asking you to use it, isn't it?
Exactly. So these companies are really dictating what we can do online and even offline.
And yet it seems like that's the way things are going. Is there any real push, Nancy Kim, to get rid of or change these terms and conditions contracts?
Well, there are different consumer advocacy groups that address this issue. Faircontracts.org, for example, is an organization that collects, you know, unfair contract terms and has generated some interest around this issue. But the problem really has to do with the nature of any sort of collective action. It's not that consumers like this. They are unhappy. They don't like these terms. But there are a number of behavioral issues here and sort of coordination and collective action problems. Behavioral economists have terms for this. There's the bystander effect or the herd effect that, if, you know, a billion Facebook users agreed to this, they can't all be wrong, right? Or the bystander effect. Who else is working on this? Isn't there somebody else who's going to call attention to this problem? There's also the optimism bias where we think that, you know, these terms are egregious, but no one's going to come after me to enforce them, right? The fact is, the terms are just too complex, right? There's a complexity issue that we can't really figure out what they're saying, so it's easier to just ignore them. So it's not, you can't really blame us, the consumers, for not understanding the terms, because even if we did read them, and that would take all day and it would take all our time and we really couldn't get anything else done, the companies change these terms. These terms are constantly updated. So even if you did make a good faith effort to try to figure out what you're agreeing to, you would have to go back. Every time you visited the site, you would have to read the terms again because the company might have updated the terms of use.
Well, would it be possible for these contracts to simply be a paragraph in length and not legalese, but just standard English so you could look at it? And if you decide after reading it, I don't want to do that, then you shouldn't have to do that. The way that, for example, the Obama administration has been trying to get mortgages written in a little more plain English so people don't get themselves into something that they really don't want to be involved with.
I think that's exactly right. I think that companies say, well, we have to put it in this form because otherwise we won't cover all the bases. But do you really need to address everything? The reason that terms of use are so lengthy is because companies can get away with it. And the reason they get away with it is because the form is digital. It's not visible to the user. If every time you bought a shirt at the Gap, let's say, if they handed you a 20-page contract, you'd say, you know what? I think I'll go shop somewhere else. Now, when you shop online, you don't know what you've agreed to. It's a hyperlink, and you don't bother clicking on that hyperlink. And if you did click on that hyperlink, you would see that that agreement contains three other hyperlink documents. So to complete a very simple transaction or interaction with a website, you have to agree to pages and pages of terms.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the Gap example because I wonder, would people stop shopping there if they started handing you a document at the end with your purchase that said, sign this if you want to buy that thing?
Well, if the store across the street didn't make you sign something like that, I think people would shop at the other store. The problem online, of course, is that you can't shop anywhere else, so to speak. There is no other store offering alternative terms. They're all governed by terms of use now.
Nancy Kim from California Western School of Law. Her book is called Wrap Contracts. Nancy, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.